Proverbs chapter 29, find if you would please, verse number 25. Proverbs 29, verse number 25, the Bible says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be" what, class? "Shall be safe. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Trusting the Lord has been our theme for our Bible study the past 4 or 5 weeks as we've been continuing in our series, "What Does the Bible Say About That?" When we got to the topic of trusting the Lord, we found that it is a tremendously deep and wide subject of trusting in the Lord. We talked about what that looked like as believers when we come into the trials of our life, and how do we know if we're trusting in the Lord, and we looked at that aspect. The last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the blessings of those that trust in the Lord. The psalmist said that blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. We found that to be true. And we've been looking at individual ways that our lives are blessed by trusting the Lord. But also we've been looking at it from the vantage point of our key verse from Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." One of the major difficulties that we have when it comes to trusting the Lord with all of our heart is all of our understanding. And so we found that our understanding that is within us, that part of us that is tied to the ration or the logic or the comprehension of our soul and of our being, that which is not naturally under the authority of the Word of God. Therefore, since it's not naturally under the authority of the Word of God in our lives, it has a ineptness or a defaultness to go away from trusting the Lord, or from faith in the Lord, or from resting upon the Word of God. This is evidenced by the fear that most people face in our lives when it comes to making spiritual decisions or standing firm upon the Word of God. And I tell you, fear is a horrible, horrible thing to live with. If you let fear, it will put you in a prison. People that give themselves to fear, that let fear dominate their lives, usually live lives that are found to be in prison, even though there are no bars or no walls, but it's the paralyzation of fear. The Bible says that the believer has not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so all of us as Christians, those of us that know the Lord, we battle in our understanding what we are going to do when it comes to trusting in the Lord with all of our heart. And so your understanding and my understanding, my wisdom, my ration, my logic, my experience, my expertise, all of that must be daily submitted to the Word of God. It must be daily submitted to the filling of the Spirit of God. I would submit to you that there's truly only one expert in all things, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so we all battle this. Many of us have scars to prove the battle that we have. Many of us would like a chance to do certain parts of our lives over again, certain relationships over again, certain decisions over again. Many times we made a decision without checking with the Lord, thinking we were doing right, thinking we did not have to check with the Lord, without any influence from the Word of God. We found that those are the decisions that we regret the most. The Bible, speaking of the person that is blessed by trusting in the Lord, began to teach us some things. The first thing we looked at was the fact that the part of trusting the Lord and what a shield it is to our lives. The Bible says that God is a shield to all of those that put their trust in Him. That same verse that talks about the fact that God is perfect and His ways are perfect. And so God, the protection of our life is the truth that God is perfect. If you believe that, say amen. So there are things about my life I cannot explain. There are things that happen in my life that I do not want to happen, nor would I ever desire that to happen. But God allows those things to happen. God allows those doors to shut. God allows those doors to open. God allows those relationships to close. God allows these types of things to change or to adapt within our lives. And if I'm not careful, my understanding will begin to rise up and my understanding will begin to tell me that God in some way made a mistake in my life, or some way God's plan for my life is not a perfect plan. My friend, if you believe God is perfect, you must believe that His way is perfect also. And so there's many times in my life where I just have to simply say, Lord, I don't understand, but I trust You. And there's many times when my understanding is screaming for an answer, screaming for something to make sense to my understanding. And the best shield that I have for my life is I'm not going to understand, but I know that God is good. I know that God is perfect. I know that God loves me. And Job said, though He slay me, finish it, yet will I trust in Him. And so I have found that putting my trust in the Lord just shields my life. And really, truthfully, that understanding of His perfection. So if I go to work tomorrow and work doesn't turn out the way that I think it's supposed to be, or I suffer some kind of situation at work, just because I have a problem at work doesn't mean that God has a problem. His way is perfect. We also learn that the person that trusts in the Lord, that puts us in a position not to slip or to slide in our understanding. It keeps us close to the Lord. It keeps us aligned to spiritual truth. And so it keeps me in a position where I'm not trusting my senses, but I'm trusting in the Lord. We went to Psalm 73 for that. Last week, we dealt with the question that everyone will have to answer when it comes to your understanding and trusting the Lord. There's going to be a time when you're going to have to answer the question, will I be happy trusting the Lord? Will I be happy trusting the Lord? Your understanding is going to tell you that only you know what's best for you. How many have found we really don't know what's best for us? Your understanding is going to tell you that happiness is something that you create or you make, and happiness will be defined in certain ways, and it's going to pull you away from trusting in the Lord. See, your understanding, it's okay following the Lord as long as the Lord tells us every step and how everything's going to work out and all of this. So then I can make my own decision. Give me enough information and then let me make my own decision. You won't find that in the Bible. Okay. Give me enough information and then let me make my own decision. So your understanding says, Now, give me enough information about being a missionary. Give me enough information about what you want to do with my life. Give me enough information, and then let me make a decision on what I'm going to do. Well, there's never going to be enough information to bring peace to your understanding. Peace comes through the Lord. And so there's going to be a time where you're going to have to battle. I don't need the, per se, the information. I believe God is good. I believe he is perfect. I know he loves me, and I know that I can trust in him. And even though my situation doesn't make any sense, and I'm a little bit complex here, and I don't know what you're doing in my life, God, I don't understand why you would let me suffer. I don't understand why I would be in this predicament. I don't understand why I don't have this, but I know that I'm in your hands. And no man plucks me out of my Father's hand. Amen. So then we went all the way back to the Old Testament, and there was a little widow woman there. And I really believe that God allowed this lady to be a widow because God had a plan for her life. I said last week that some of the biggest mistakes that single people make is that they believe that God only uses married people. My friend, God can use a single person just like God can use married people. Amen. Okay, so here's this little widow woman, and she has a plan for her life, and her plan is she's got enough food to fix her and her little boy a meal, and then they're going to die. That's some great plan. But she's got what she thinks. And so the man of God comes as the Lord had sent him to her, and the man of God asked for a little water. She's going to get a little water, and then she asked for a little cake. And when he asked for a little cake because he's hungry, the woman then speaks up and says, sir, I barely have enough food for me and my boy. I mean, we plan on eating our last meal and even dying. I can't make you a little cake. And then the prophet said, I understand your situation, but if you make me a cake first, you ignorant, selfish man, how could you do that? Well, this is what God told him to do. If you make me a cake first, then God said, he'll take care of you. I asked you a question last week. I'm going to ask you this in the next lesson here too. Would you have made a cake first? Pastor, you should see the way we fight over the last bite in our house. Now, I'm going to say something here. Stay with me. You'll never give God your last bite if you don't give him your first bite. Never give God your last bite if you don't give him your first bite. So the widow woman is put to a question. The prophet said this, God promises to take care of you. Now she's responsible for that truth. Am I going to trust God, or am I going to try to maintain my life? And so the woman had enough faith to make the prophet the little cake first. Can I just ask you a question? Do you think she was happy that she did that? Yeah, because when she made the little cake first, there was meal every day. There was sufficiency every day to take care of her son, to take care of the man of God. Later she got her child who died, raised back to life. I would submit to you that little widow woman was extremely happy that she trusted in the Lord. So I want to ask you a question. Are you happy tonight? Or are you kind of sour pussy tonight? Are you kind of miserable tonight? There's just something joyful about saying, Lord, I think I'm going down, but I'm still going to trust you. My situation says this, and I don't know how this is going to turn out, God. But you've given me wonderful promises in the book about you, and I'm going to trust those promises. When you make a decision to do that, it's like God picks that burden right up off your shoulders. He puts that burden of provision right on himself, and you're able to... The Lord has me. If you've ever done that and you know that, say amen. The Lord has me. So we answered the question last week, will you be happy? Tonight, I think I need to answer this question. Will you be safe? Is it safe to trust the Lord? You know, Pastor, I'm not real aggressive. I'm not real risky. I'm not real venturesome. Is it really safe to trust the Lord? You know, I got to kind of know where I'm going before I'm able to do these kind of things. Can I trust the Lord with the decision of my life? Can I trust the Lord with the direction of my life? Can I trust the Lord with the program of my life, with the plan of my life? Pastor, if I trust the Lord, will I be safe? Well, go back to Proverbs 29, verse number 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be what, class? Flip back to Proverbs chapter 21. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of who, class? Come on now, everybody, Proverbs 21:31. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of who? Of the Lord. Safety belongs to God, my friend. Nothing wrong with you preparing against the day of battle. But no matter how much you prepare yourself, you cannot protect yourself totally. Bert can go to the doctor. He can run every test he wants to run. He can do everything, and I think he should. But safety is of the Lord. And the fact of our lives, we must understand this. Go, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 10. This is all introduction. We got to go to Daniel for my lesson. Proverbs 18, look, if you would, verse number 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is what? You ever run into the name of the Lord and known safety? There's no better safety and security than the Lord. He's way better than your savings account. Amen. He's way better than any 401k. He's way better than any 403b. He's way better than any health insurance program. He's way better than anything we can provide. He's the greatest security of our lives. So, I want to read you a Bible story. Daniel chapter 3. Would you make your way there? I think when we get done with this Bible story, you're going to see, just like the woman at the well, like the widow woman, how happy she was in trusting the Lord. I think you're going to find that there is safety in trusting the Lord. Now don't tune me out from Daniel chapter 3, because you think you know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I'll bet you you don't. So let's pick up verse number 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the judges, and the treasurers, and the counselors, and the sheriffs. I didn't even know sheriff was in the Bible. There it is. The sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood, notice, they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and what? Worship." Now I want to stop right here just for a second. And I want to say this. The type of music you listen to is important. There is music that is designed to worship the false gods, and there is music that is designed to worship your God. You better pay attention to that in your life. Keep reading. When you hear the kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever, you stinking liars. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is this true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? All right, look this way. You understand what's happening here, right? You understand that Nebuchadnezzar built a golden image, an idol. You understand that Nebuchadnezzar made a decree that when they play the music, that everybody's going to bow down and they're going to worship this idol. People, nations, and languages. It happens. Everybody bows down except three boys, three Jews. They're not going to bow down and worship a false god. They're dragged in front of the king, who now has been challenged at his word. So you need to understand that the king is in a raging position. Not only is the king embarrassed, his authority is being challenged. His decree is being challenged. The whole kingdom is around. Everybody is paying attention. I mean, you could not talk about a more intense moment. And the king says, maybe you boys didn't hear what I said. I'm going to give you another opportunity. We're going to play this music one more time. And if you bow down and worship me, it'll be well. If you don't bow down and worship, I'm going to throw you in this burning fiery furnace. Do you understand that? Yes? So what would you have done? Hope. That's you. They're giving you one more opportunity to worship a false god or be thrown into a fiery furnace. What would you have done? Well, everybody wants to, and I believe Philip would, if anybody, he would. We all want to say, I'll stand up for God. So let me ask you a question. If you won't give God your last bite, you'll never give him your first bite. If you don't stand up for God in your place of employment, if you don't stand up for God in the small parts of your life, you're never going to stand up for God when the heat comes crushing down. See, most people think, when you put the screws to me, I'll do what's right. That's your understanding justifying our rebellion. Because if I don't do right when the screws aren't put to me, I'm not going to stand up when the screws are put to me. So I'm asking you a question. What would you do? Well, I think you would do what you normally do. So when you go to work and everybody's cussing and blaspheming, do you cuss? Do you blaspheme? Or do you stand up and say, you know what? Don't talk about my Lord like that. So what do? When everybody says, hey, take a drink, man. Just take a little drink. Come on, everybody. Take a little drink. Okay. Take just a little puff. Just take a little. Come on, man. Just do it. So what do? When you know, you only have so much money this week. Maybe you shouldn't do that this week. Maybe you shouldn't tithe this week. You know, you should. What do? See, there's a whole lot of times, people, where we have to stand up and make a decision. Are we going to fall down and worship a false god, or are we going to stand for the true living God? So, let's help me preach a little bit. It's 7:57. I figure I'll preach till about 8:10. Those of you that are sleeping, you probably need another good 12 minutes. Give me what's going through their brain right now in their understanding. I'll tell you what their answer was. Look, if you would, at verse number 17 or 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Now look at verse 18. What are the first three words? But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we're not going to serve your God. We're not going to worship that golden image which you've set up. So these boys, when the screws got put to them, they said, king, we're not hesitant to answer you here. Our God's able to deliver us. If he wants to deliver us, he can deliver us. But if he doesn't want to deliver us, that's fine. That's up to him. But we're not serving your stinking God. Okay? So help me here. And nobody will think less of you with an answer. What will human reasoning say? Give me a reason why they could have bowed down. What would their reasoning say? What? Everybody else is doing it. Beautiful. Understanding will always bring everybody else. Well, everybody else is having premarital sex. I mean, that's just the way you do it now. Premarital sex is against God's word. Well, everybody else is. Yeah, that's your understanding. You're not going to mean it in your heart. That's a beautiful one. That's your understanding. God, you really know my heart, but I really got to do this to make it. And so I don't want to go into the fiery furnace. So I'm going to bow my knee, but I'm not going to bow my heart. Yeah, but you bowed your knee. By the way, God cares about your knee because he said one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Oh, our understanding is so smart. Somebody else. God will forgive me. You know, if I just do this one thing, I know it's a sin. I know, but as soon as I do it, I can fall on my face and I can ask forgiveness. You know, God warns you against the sin of presumption. The Bible says, should a man sin that grace may abound? God forbid. You make a decision to sin and you in presumption that God's going to forgive that, my friend, the consequence of that decision is horrific. What else? Live to fight another day. Yeah, this little battle won't hurt me. You know what? We'll make it through here and I'll be stronger tomorrow. Somebody else had one over here. Phil? Right. Don't be ashamed of God. Your point is the last point. He's itching to get to that point. One more. Understanding. Well, how does our understanding circulate that? It does, doesn't it? It does. Well, you know, I'm just weak. I'm just going to go ahead and fold here. I can do all things. See, every single one of us will have to battle our understanding. And them boys said this. We've already made a decision. We're going to trust the Lord. Let's see how it turns out. Look, if you would, at verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. The form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen. I struggle with that because I don't want to wear hosen. And their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the guys that threw them in the fire got killed. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. And he rose up in haste and he spake and he said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the, say it, class, Son of God. Does that not put goosebumps on you a little bit? I ask you a question. Were they safe? Where were they safe? In the will of God. They were in that furnace. Just because you trust the Lord, my friend, doesn't mean you're not going to be put in the furnace. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have to suffer a consequence for your choice. But it does mean that God walks in and with you. It does mean that as you put yourself in a position, safety is of the Lord. Keep reading. My best point is yet to come. Verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spake, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors being together saw these men. Now watch this. Upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. That's fantastic. Verse 28. Watch what Nebuchadnezzar says. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that, what are those 3 words? Trusted in him. I got that part marked. I'm marking that right now. I marked it earlier in my mind. I'm marking it now. The servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. So Nebuchadnezzar says, fellas, you trusted in your God and he kept you safe. I would say to the church, we can trust in our God and he will keep us safe. I asked you where they were safe. Gary said, in the will of God. I want to ask you this question. When were they saved? Before and after. They were saved when, or safe when they put their trust in the Lord. King, we're not bowing. Play all the music you want to play. Take our lives. If God wants to deliver us, God will deliver us. But if not, we ain't sinning against our God. We're going to trust him. Throw them in, boys. You imagine what they were thinking? God, you made a mistake. We stood and you didn't come through. How could this be happening? We should have bowed. No. I think they turned around. They bound him. Said, boys, we're going to see him. We're going to see him. And they threw him in that fire. Can you imagine when they opened up their eyes down there and there was the Lord? Nebuchadnezzar said, I see a fourth and he looks like the form of the Son of God. And they're walking in that furnace and the only thing that got burned was the ropes that were around their hands. I would say they were pretty safe. Now, if they can trust God there, you can't trust God at your work. You can't trust God with your life. You can't trust God in the obedience of his word. My friend, let me tell you something. The safest place you can be in your life is trusting in the Lord. You'd be a fool not to do it. Shall we pray?